I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Miami Heat lose by 1 point in the NBA playing game versus the Philadelphia 76ers, as I'm sure a lot of you guys are aware. I don't know if you came to this channel expecting to see me rant or scream or yell, but I'm not going to do that today. I think I feel how majority of Heat fans do, being that I'm tired and I'm really frustrated with the way that they find ways to lose basketball games, right? So I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. As much as that's a cliche, that really is the case. I mean, this felt like a playoff basketball game, right? And that aspect of it was very, very fun. And after playoff games, I get mad, I get frustrated, but I try not to get mad and yell and rant too much because that's what the playoffs is. The playoffs are supposed to be very difficult, right? And we'll get into the performances of Jimmy and Tyler, who obviously had very poor performances today. We'll get into that. But the playoffs is about winning in spite of stuff like that, having guys step up. You know, on the reverse side, on the 76ers, Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey didn't really do anything spectacular, but it was guys like Nick Batum that stepped up. You know, he really carried pretty much the entire time. I mean, in fact, I'd say Nick Batum was like a 90% reason they won the game, which was frustrating. And as a Heat fan, now I know what Celtics fans felt like watching Caleb Martin last year, because Nick Batum was on fire. But this felt like a playoff game, right? And if this was a playoff series versus the Philadelphia 76ers, I wouldn't feel great. I wouldn't feel terrible. I'd say, that was fun. Let's run it back. Let's beat their ass. Let's get a better Jimmy Butler performance. Let's hopefully get a better Tyler Hero. And let's do this. You know, it was a fun, competitive game. But the Heat don't have a luxury of this being a playoff series. They were the 8th seed, right? They have 2 chances to win 1 game. They lost the first one. They obviously play 1 more game. It'll be the winner of the Bulls versus Hawks who are tipping off soon, and we'll get into the repercussions of that and whether I even want to win or lose, because at this point, I don't know. I don't know. I think I do, right? Because I've never been one of those fans that thinks it's better to lose, but we'll talk about that for the end of this video. There was a lot to talk about this game. There will definitely be a ton to say here. It sucks, man. It really sucks because you had that game won, and that second half was just so poor. And I felt like a lot of it was unforced things, personal mistakes, forgetting how to play basketball, that type of thing. And that's the part that is frustrating about being a Heat fan, especially this season, is because you just feel like they're letting these games slip through their hands, and it's absolutely gut-wrenching. And like I said, if this was a series, I would be hyped, you know. I would say, you know, damn, they got us, but I have the guts, man. This is playoff basketball. But it's not a series, man. This is a game you had to win. And I know in my last post game, which is the Raptors game, I kind of said I didn't think the Heat were going to win today. I changed my tone. I actually did a four-hour live stream previewing this game. I had some guests like George and Royal from the basement. And we talked about everything, including a ton of different Miami Heat stuff. But in that one, in which we did preview the 76ers game, I got my guts back. I really did. Because the more and more coverage I heard of this game and this team, all I heard is, oh yeah, Miami's not going to win. Philly's going to bust their ass. And I thought back to last year how every time this team was doubted, they proved everyone wrong. And I had the guts last year, and I said, I'm going to have the guts this year. And I thought Miami was going to pull out the game tonight. I really, really did. I know there's a lot of factors that are even more concerning, like the health of Jimmy. I guess we'll get into that a little bit too. But there's a lot to talk about. There is. Let's go ahead and start with just sort of a summary of the game. Let's give a little recap from what I remember here. Very slow start for both teams. Miami even got down 9-2, which was particularly frustrating because if you remember the last game they played Philly, Philly was up like 25 in the first half. Thought maybe we were about to see something like that again, but Philly really couldn't shoot either, right? And then I think it was early in that second quarter, maybe Jimmy Butler had a pump fake, got like hammered by Kelly Oubre, who fell for fake, and Jimmy landed wincing in pain, screaming, yelling at the top of his lungs, grabbing his knee, and I'm thinking our season is cooked. Refreshing Twitter to see, you know, they go to timeout. Refreshing Twitter, praying. I see from Ira Winderman, Jimmy stayed in the game because, you know, obviously he's there. He knows before the rest of us. We see Jimmy stayed in the game. I said, okay, good. But I said, I need to see how he's moving because if you guys remember in the game in which Josh Hart rolled into his ankle last year, Jimmy stayed in the game, but he was nothing but a decoy. Jimmy stood in the corner and they lost that game. And in hindsight, I said they should have taken Jimmy Butler out the game because I think they could have won if they would have put in Caleb Martin or whoever else that wasn't in the game at the time. I appreciate Jimmy trying to tough it out because he's a competitor, one an ultimate warrior. But in that Knicks game, I said he should have said that he could have won. But however, going into this game, after they come back from timeout, Jimmy's on the court, he was moving very well, running with no pain. Walking a little funny, but when he was running, he was great, you know, kind of like we see with Zion Williamson. Hope everything's good with him. He's got a hamstring injury. He's going to miss their playing game too, so that sucks for him. A lot of injuries going around. But Jimmy was running well. And defensively from the jump, he was as engaged as we've seen him since last playoffs, right? I'm sitting, and he wasn't shooting all that efficient. He was like 2-8 at the time, and I'm thinking, well, I don't care. We got playoff Jimmy. The shot will fall. I'm grinning. I'm smiling. I'm so happy. He's playing the passing lanes, picking off, you know, intercepting passes. That's the same thing. I get it. But he was so awesome on the defensive end. And that helped the Miami Heat build a 12-point lead up to halftime. They finally got some hot shooting. Kevin Love hit one. Tyler Hero, I remember, hit one. Jimmy hit a couple today himself. And I felt real good going into that halftime. Really, the only thing I didn't feel great about was their fast breaks because speaking of things that are frustrating, this team is the worst fast break team in NBA history. There was five or six today that they just could not even get a shot off. They had at one point like 10 forced turnovers and 2 points off of it, something ridiculous like that. Even a couple they hit were way uglier than they had to be. You had like a Jaime Jaquez double dribble on one, just guys getting the ball back tapped out of their hands. Just ridiculous fast break execution. That's something they desperately need to improve because it's been terrible all year. But aside from all that, they were up 12 at halftime. We're feeling great. I said, I'm not going to celebrate because I, of all fans, know that the third quarter is something that could kill us. Start off the third quarter pretty slow. 76ers do go on their run and stuff. Nick Batum got hot and stuff. It really all started when Caleb Martin missed back-to-back free throws. The fans got free chicken, which what kind of promo gives away free chicken for two missed free throws in the third quarter? Usually it's the fourth quarter teams do that. We saw Boban do that in L.A. the other day, got fans free chicken. Remember when Udonis Haslam got the fans in L.A. the free chicken? Or he stopped the fans in, not L.A., Atlanta from getting free chicken, and he started waving his finger. Who does that in the third quarter? It's a loser organization, the 76ers. Same fans that were booing their team earlier now screaming for free chicken. Bunch of bums in that city. God, I hate this damn team so much, man. I hate this team. I hate Joel Embiid. I hate Kyle Lowry. I hate Doris Burke and her Kyle Lowry slob-knobbing all game. Tell me you weren't annoyed at that, too. For like a minute, I went to the ESPN2 broadcast, but then they had Kevin Hart doing that broadcast, and I remember he's from Philly, and I turned that off, that crap off real quick. But Doris Burke, is it just me, or was she slob-knobbing the entire 76ers team today? Batum shoving Jaime Jaquez late, or Tyler Hero late, and she's saying, oh, great defense by Batum. I never liked Doris Burke. I never, never did. She used to always ride LeBron all the time. LeBron would make a wide open layup. She'd say, oh my God, what a pass by LeBron James. Shut the hell up, Doris Burke. We know you don't fuck with Miami. Pissing me off. Anyways, like I said, in that third quarter though, yes, the 76ers got hot. Yes, Batum got hot. Campaign hit a three also, but they went on a run, right? But Miami only got outscored by 7. They still had the lead going into the fourth. So I said, okay, the home team was going to go on a run. Philly is too good a team. I am not disrespecting them. They are too good a team to not make a run. I was satisfied that their run, third quarter run, was a 7-point, you know, plus for them and not like a 15-point plus. So I was glad the Heat still had the lead, and I wanted to see them continue that going into the fourth. That did not happen. The 76ers full court press continued, and that was the end of the Miami Heat. And it was basketball 101 concept as the Miami Heat could not seem to figure out. They had Bam Adebayo being pressured, bringing the ball up the court, and sent no help. Nobody came to the ball to catch a pass. Bam was this close to getting an 8-second violation, but by the time he got down the court, there was no time to run an offense anyways. I don't even remember what shot they got off. They might have made it, miss it, I don't care, but it was a terrible offensive possession. And you had countless number of those in that fourth quarter. You had Jaime Jaquez bringing the ball up the court, get pressured, back tap. Tyler Hero bringing the ball up the court, can't go nowhere. Can't get into an offensive set until there's 5 seconds left in the shot clock. If they're pressuring Miami, you know Miami Heat, you can pressure them right back. Try something different. Make it difficult for them. You made it way too easy for them to get into their sets. Did not make it uncomfortable. Unlike in that second quarter. That second quarter, the Heat went to that zone defense, and they were switching and flying around and playing a sensational defense, locking up everyone. It was a beautiful brand of basketball. It was, man. And they just fall apart. I don't get it. I want Jimmy Butler to win a damn ring so bad, man. And he was not good tonight. We're going to get into that. But he deserves it so much. I don't know how many years he has left. And now that you got to get matched up versus the Boston Celtics, it's not going to happen this year, man. This one game, you lost by 1 point. It's just, I could see it in my head. That's what I'm thinking now. The path was there. If you win tonight, if you have one more shot to win, hit two more free throws, you play the Knicks in the first round. We know Miami can beat that team. You would have played the winner of Orlando, Cleveland. You know Miami can beat that team. Now you're back in the conference finals versus the Celtics. Maybe not even the Celtics. Maybe the Celtics get knocked out by the 76ers too, because Sixers would have been the 8th seed. And now you could have played the Sixers in the conference finals, which we know Miami can beat them too, and you're back in the NBA finals. Like, I can't understate the importance, the significance of losing this game. It was a crucial, crucial loss. Crucial. Because whether Miami wins or not the next playing game, they're not going to beat the Boston Celtics. Not in round one. Not without Terry Rozier being healthy or Duncan Robinson, who was clear to play today. Duncan, not Terry. But Duncan didn't check into the game, obviously, at all. Not with Jimmy Butler now with knee injury, ankle injury, whatever happened to him today. It's not going to happen. And we saw how much Jimmy needed to coast this regular season. It's only going to get worse. And this Heat team in the regular season is going to struggle. They're going to be in the same spot next year. And I can't see a clear path where Jimmy gets a ring with the Heat. I can't anymore. I don't know if I'm overstating the importance of this loss. Obviously, I'm recording this right after the game. It's possible. I'm living in the moment. But it sucks, man. All because as soon as you start getting pressured, you forget how to dribble. You don't pressure them right back. Why not Spoelstra? Where was that zone that we saw in the second quarter with DeLon Wright up top and Hayward Highsmith? I know they tried it, but where was the energy in it? You know, I don't want to take away credit from Philly for making the right plays and finding guys and stuff, because they were kind of doing that. They were more so just finding Nick Batum when he was hitting tough shots. Some of them were tough, so a lot of them were wide open. They ended up putting Bam and Adebayo on him, which is crazy. I know a lot of that was out of the zone, but you didn't see the energy from the Heat. And you didn't see one full court press from the Heat. I know it could be hard to press and then get back into a zone, but still try something different. They're making it so hard on you. Do it right back to them. This is a do or die game right here. It really is. I would have liked to see some more pressure put on them. Let me see what I didn't talk about there. We talked about the slow start, Jimmy's injury, fast breaks. There was a lot of in and outs from Miami too, particularly with Tyler Hero. So I guess we can go through the box score a little bit here too, because we talked about Batum, Doris Burke. I got my notes here. Full court pressing, the free chicken. The officiating was definitely letting them play to an extent, even though Doris Burke thought that Miami was fouling every time and Philly was just playing great physical defense. But whatever. Let's get into Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero is a guy that for some reason people think I've been a hater of all season. That's not the case. You can't see it in frame, but just out of frame, I got a shelf with a Tyler Hero bobblehead on it. I love Tyler Hero. I do. I love Tyler Hero. Now, am I annoyed with a lot of the things that he does? You know, I can't say that he does, because I'm annoyed that he got hurt last year. I'm annoyed that he got hurt the year before, right? I'm annoyed that sometimes his shot selection was poor, right? And during time and stuff. And I personally never felt like his optimal fit was in the starting lineup. I felt like he should come off the bench. That's just always been my opinion. Doesn't mean I don't love Tyler Hero. I do. But my opinion on him all season has been, let me see what he does in the postseason before I really judge him. You know, playoff, postseason, same thing. I know this is the plane, but it's still technically the postseason. So we're going to call it the playoffs for all intents and purposes for Tyler Hero, right? I needed to judge him in the playoffs, because 2 years ago, that's when he got locked down by DeLon Wright in that first round with the Hawks, right? He was awful, got hurt, came back late in that game 7, I think, versus Celtics. Didn't play much, whatever. Last year, got hurt again the first game. So now his reputation goes from someone who was, one, not great in the playoffs, to two, someone who can't stay healthy in the playoffs. So I wanted to see what's true about it. Can he perform in the playoffs? And after one game so far, I'm sorry, the answer is no. It's not. Tyler Hero was nothing short of terrible tonight. I honestly believe that. And he was shot 9 of 27. He had 25 points on 27 shots. And 7 of those was, you know, or 5 of those was at the end when, you know, he was already down and just trying to play the free throw game and stuff. He had a meaningless 3 at the end. He pumped. You needed to get a shot off quick. Tyler Hero's pump faking. That's why even though Philly did turn it over at the end, there was 0 seconds left on the clock, because by the time the ball went in, there was only 0.3 on it, because Tyler Hero had to pump fake. Just no urgency with him. No urgency. But still, 33% from him, 9 of 27. Did get it going a little bit in that fourth quarter, but it's not good enough. It's not good enough. Too terrible earlier. Started the game 1 of 9 from 3, missing open shots, missing his floater, the float mingo. He was awful. And I'm starting to think the reason is, and I heard J.J. Redick say it on his podcast that dropped earlier today with LeBron, Mind the Game. He said, in the playoffs, the defenses tighten up a ton, especially the on-ball defense. And you saw that, DeLon Wright on Tyler Hero 2 years ago, and you saw that today with whoever was pressuring Tyler Hero today. They threw a bunch of bodies at him. When he gets pressured, he folds. He is not a superstar scorer, a guy that can score when the pressure is tight on him. He's not that guy. Because every time it's the playoffs, and especially tonight, now, again, I'll say my answer could change. It's a one-game sample size this year, but it's all I got to work with, and he was so bad, it's hard to give me hope that he can turn it around. It is. It really is. He was awful. It just pressured everywhere. Forced up a game-tying 3 at the end of the game that got blocked by Batum. Nick Batum, a freaking fossil Nick Batum. Terrible. The backcourt violation when it was a tie game, he could have went for the lead. I know everyone says Batum pushed him. Batum did push him. But that's why I don't blame Hero for that. I just blame the whole Heat's offensive execution. Why was Jaime Hawkins so close to the middle of the court there to even allow a push to get Tyler over? That's bad spacing. That's bad everything, right? When Jaime Hawkins caught the ball, he should not have been in that position where Tyler Hero had to run up to the ball and was, you know what I mean? Ridiculous. But anyways, Tyler Hero was just an awful bat overall. And I was saying earlier, he had a lot of in and outs. I feel like he had a rough night like that. That's why I'm not mad at him. I'm disappointed. I am. Just, yeah, bad shooting performance. He did have, 9 assists. That's pretty great. But 5 turnovers. 9 assists, 5 turnovers, that's not a good ratio at all. So I don't want to hear about his playmaking. I don't. Another guy who was terrible today, Jimmy Butler. 19 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 steals, right? We talked about how active he was on defensive end. But 5 of 18, 28%. 8 free throw attempts. I like the aggressiveness. I like the 8 free throw attempts. I like the 18 shots. I like the intensity on defense. But 5 of 18, Jimmy. And in that fourth quarter, that's when he had another breakaway steal. And then as soon as he dunked and landed, he started grimacing again. And that's when it looked like his knee started to act up. And that's when he was pretty much sitting in the corner the rest of the fourth quarter, just like that Knicks game last season. If you were going to use Jimmy Butler as a decoy, you should have got him out of the game, Spo. You should have brought in, I don't care who, Jovic or Caleb Martin, I don't care who. Jimmy Butler cannot be a decoy standing in the corner. That does not work. And if he's not healthy enough to play basketball, then that cannot work either. He wasn't even in the game, the final possession of the game. So eventually they took him out, but it was, with 10 seconds left? I think they should have taken out Jimmy earlier. But it sucks. It sucks. I don't want to get on him too much because of the knee thing. So it's like, same thing as last year. Had a bad finals. Can I blame the bad ankle? Can I not? I don't know. Was terrible today offensively, just straight dog water offensively. Can I blame the knee? Can I not? I don't know. I don't know what to think. But what I know is he was 5 of 18, and that was terrible, and that's not good enough. Nikola Jovic was interested to see what kind of run he'd get today as kind of the young guy. 14 minutes for him, 5 points, 5 rebounds. Had their first bucket of the game. Big 3 in the third quarter, so there's that. I'll try to speed it up a little bit here. I've been talking for 20 minutes. Bam Adebayo, 10 points, 12 rebounds. I feel like he was fine offensively, I guess. How many shots did he even shoot today? Okay, 9 shots. Yeah, I don't feel like him doing too much offensively, but defensively, absolute monster. My God, Bam Adebayo continues to do what Bam Adebayo does versus all the star players, which is limit them to the better than anyone else in the entire league. I mean, Embiid today finished 6-17. That's 35%. That's terrible. Now he finished with 23-15-5, so the numbers don't look too bad. But still, if you were watching that game, there's no doubt about it that Bam Adebayo was, and it wasn't just Bam, you know, like I said, it was the zone and all the helping from everyone, but it starts with Bam. Because when you are playing zone and guys start switching and scrambling, Bam is the guy that cleans it up. When you're playing zone, that leaves you susceptible to giving up a lot of offensive rebounds. Bam is the guy who was cleaning a lot of that up. Like I said, 12 boards today for Bam. So I'm happy with Bam. I am. And Caleb Martin was bad too. He only shot 2 of 3, 5 points. But again, very, very sloppy for him. Didn't provide much. The biggest positive off your bench was Jaime Jaquez. 15 points for him. Played 22 minutes the whole fourth quarter too, I believe. 6 of 11. 2 threes. Super aggressive. If y'all would have told me 2 days ago who would be the closing lineup and it'd be Jaime Jaquez, I wouldn't have believed you. There was a lot of talk about what if Jaime would close because earlier in the season he was, and then he hit the rookie wall, and then who knows, and Yo was just playing well, and I think Spo just kind of rolled with who was hot to end the game, which was, you know, Tyler, Jimmy, Bam, Haywood, and Jaime. And Jaime was great tonight. And the thing I love to see most is that is his confidence, right? Rookie, first postseason game, and he was not afraid of the moment at all. So it was positive, big positive from Jaime Jaquez. And Hayward Highsmith was fine tonight too, 9.6 rebounds, 4 of 8. And I thought he was pretty good defensively too. As was Kevin Love in his minutes, 10 points for him, 2 threes himself. So the whole bench actually here was a plus. The entire starting lineup was a minus in the plus minus, and the entire bench was a plus. Plus led by Kevin Love, plus 11. So, and I didn't mention DeLon Wright. Awesome too, 6.6 boards for him, but defensively just very, very, very good. So, yeah, it was your main guys that let you down today. It was Jimmy and Tyler. That's who let you down today. Because we told you Joel Embiid's numbers, but Tyrese Maxey today, 19 points himself, 6 assists, 6 of 16. So him and Embiid both shot under, you know, 37% or less. And you lost. You lost a game in which Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid shot under 37%. Tragic. Philly ended the night shooting 34% from three, and Miami at 35%. So neither, no, not a big disparity there because neither team shot great. But it story of the game was Nick Batum, 20 points, 7 of 12, 6 of 10 from three. I think all of that was in that fourth quarter, which is very sad. And Kyle Lowry, I don't want to talk about him because Doris Burke was doing it the whole damn night. 7 points for him, 3 of 10. I don't care about that bum. Sucks, man. It really sucks. I don't know if there's probably a lot of stuff about the game I forgot to say, a lot of thoughts I forgot to say, but it's unfortunate, man. The next game is versus the Bulls versus Hawks. Let's see who's winning that right now. Right now, it's the Bulls by 13. You know what? I made my mind up. I want to win. I want to win. I'm a loser. I'm a loser. Shoot. Look at this team's doing to me. I'm not a loser. And I don't think the front office is going to be tricked by some deep playoff run or something like that. I want to win because I want to at least know what would happen if we play the Celtics. Maybe they'll have a 2% chance to win this time. I just want to see if they can do it. So that's all I got. Thank y'all for staying to the end of the video. If you stayed to the end of the video, because this is a long one, man, comment Doris Burke the slob knobber. Comment Doris the slob knobbin. Doris the slob knobbin Burke. That's it. If you stay to this part of the video, comment Doris the slob knobbin Burke, and I'll give y'all a shout out next post game. But we'll see what happens then. Make sure to like the video and subscribe because I do appreciate y'all a lot. And I'll see y'all next time. Peace out. Look, pull up in the city trying to get that dead fast. Do it on my own. I don't need no dead weight. Had to kill him off. Yeah, I need a head space. You know this homegrown bitch don't offend me. Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.